I love coronavirus careers.
I love this for you.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, no, it's like somebody will just be like, yeah, my job pivoted to just staring at screens all day in our homes instead of staring at screens all day in an office. Like, I love I
now
love this
every
for you.
Screen is the good screen that, and that's bad right. screen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we love that. That's the thing with podcasting now. It's like you used to get together in somebody's shitty apartment and record together as a communal activity. Now we gather around a warm, glowing screen in each of our respective shitty apartments and record together without even seeing each other.
I'm literally sitting right now like two-thirds encased by multiple surfaces that are just crawling with wires where I don't know what beginnings of what wires connect to what ends. And every like 16 hours, I have to reconfigure it to do something different with my computer.
Oh, you're doing the thing where you're like pretending you're Tank from the Matrix. Yeah, I'm doing that too. I feel like a lot of people are doing that in quarantine. Yeah.
Yeah, we're accidentally like, oh shit, this episode, instead of John, half the episode, it was like John's drum machine, just like whenever he tried to talk. It was like everyone's like, yeah, John made some good points this episode. He made some real interesting points.
Interesting points that all sounded like a clap.
Some really snappy, very snappy comebacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They sounded
punchy.
You know,
very tight.
You don't want to get ensnared by his arguments. You know?
Yeah, John usually does riffs, but I felt like he was doing more of a boom bap kind of thing this episode.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah, hello everybody. Welcome to Beep Beep Lettuce. This is episode 106.
People How are keep you this asking week? If RBG is dead. Yeah, I'm thinking RBG is dead.
I'm thinking she's dead.
Oh shit, wait. John Wick killed RBG? Is that what happened?
Was that an I'm thinking Arby's joke that you just did then?
No, accidentally. Wait, John, have you not seen John Wick?
No, I haven't seen John Wick. I understand it's a fantastic movie, though. It's I just really haven't gotten around to watching it.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's a fun time.
Because I'm a big fan of mass shootings. So seeing John Wick is just like, it's like the Don Giovanni of mass shootings.
Mm. Who's Don Giovanni? Who's
that? Well, no, it's like an opera. It's an operatic shooting.
Oh,
is
sure.
it going to make me feel That's the same true. Way as The Raid?
Yes, no. Absolutely.
Oh yeah, okay.
Because what's it called? The Raid Redemption?
If you've seen Judge Dredd or Dredd 3D,
yes.
it's basically the same movie as that.
The Raid has all of these beautifully choreographed gunfights with like interspersed martial arts, and it's shot really well and edited very, it's like it makes you stressed out in times, and like at other times it's like just flawless action.
See, yes. I feel like John Wick is more like Harry Potter for gun guys. Like there's all there's
okay.
like no all I mean right. like there's
no,
like the
that's
whole
it. No okay look we wanted to do a podcast but you had to go and ruin it.
No
I'm sorry.
I mean it in the best way possible.
I'm out.
There's
I'm out
whole
guys
thing
you're
where
a wizard John Wick.
God damn fuck.
It's not transphobic. In fact, Keanu is very
right,
nice to trans
true.
People.
I'm just saying that there's like a whole world where there's like this different kinds of currency, and they've got the rules where if you're in the hotel, you can't.
Holy shit.
You can't.
Maybe you're right.
You can't be killed, and you can't use the certain kind of math. It's a pretty cool.
Holy
it's a
shit.
Pretty cool fantasy mm-hmm. world.
But they're
honestly.
All like completely underground. It's like the normal people that are around them have no idea what's happening or who these people are who are fighting.
Right.
Did you guys come up with this take?
Yeah, no, like the first time I saw the second one.
So it's basically written by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett is
it
what you're telling me.
It feels like that in the second and third one. It's like a really fun fantasy world, and which is why I think it just gets better. Two and three are even better than the first one.
Well, what if they get a taste for ramping it up more and more, and then before you know it, it turns out it's in the same universe as Unreal Tournament.
Well, I've always liked to imagine that the reason that the John Wick world is so stylized is that it's Keanu Reeves in an earlier version of The Matrix.
Oh, that makes
sense. I could say that, yeah.
Back when they couldn't simulate like all of the eccentricities of real life. They had to make it kind of stylized.
They only had GameCube graphics. So they had to work on it.
Speaking of living in a fantasy world, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a Supreme Justice of the United States, died this week.
Bye, bitch!
She's fucking dead. As we all knew that she would... Honestly, we were all continually surprised every day
that she was still
alive. That she hadn't yet bit the big
one. She made it so close to the finish line of like one Trump term, but she didn't quite make it.
Literally everyone told her to resign.
Yeah.
And get replaced by Obama.
Sounds problematic, Bryn. Sounds sexist. Sounds misogynistic.
She said she didn't want to resign. Like she went on record and publicly was like, nah, I think I got another, 6 to 8 years in me.
Yeah, I'm 600 years old.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg has known the exact day she was going to die since like 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt. Like... This was just the last thing for her in a long line of quid pro quos, or I don't know, but like it's so like this is the exact moment she would die. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like
a fortune teller told her when she was 14 years old in a big Tim Burton style tent.
You're a wizard, RBG.
It's just like everybody's like lionizing her. It's like, oh, she was so great for feminism. It's like she was also very racist. Mm-hmm. She was fairly conservative. Like she's not this amazing progressive that everybody makes her out to be. She had a very conservative career. I don't know if we necessarily need to go into details on it.
No.
But the response to her death has been incredible. I mean, we all knew absolutely that this nuts was going to cause the most insane, epic meltdown ever of normie libs.
Mm-hmm.
But further than that, Senate Democrats have gone nuclear. They've said that they want total war.
Right. So I don't know what this is supposed to mean to a Democrat. Like if you're if your whole career is based off of being a sniveling freak,
loser who loses.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does total war look like to you?
You ever heard about DC statehood, Bryn? That's on the table.
What does it mean on the table?
Pelosi came out and said it. She said, "We need total war." By which
she said
I mean,
the N-word.
No, she said, "I would like to say some words to honor my good friend Ruth Bader Ginsburg."
It was one of her favorite words. She said, "I mean, how many times we've asked this on a previous episode? How many times do you think Ruth Bader Ginsburg said the N-word?"
Hundreds.
Yeah. But, I mean, considering what she said in public about Colin Kaepernick, she said he was dumb and disrespectful to Neil. Right. So what do you think she said behind closed doors?
It's so crazy because it's like you said, we don't need to go through all of the ways that she's a fucking conservative, like
cunt,
terrible freak. But it's also really insane because it's like you have to fully believe that the Supreme Court should exist to be sad about this.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
If the whole goal should have always been packing the court until everyone is on the Supreme Court. Like it shouldn't exist anymore.
Well, but that's the thing. Like the main thing that libs always use their last ditch to convince you that voting in presidential elections is like super deep and meaningful is it's like, but what about the Supreme Court? Huh? You didn't think about that. That's always their fucking gotcha card. And now it's just been blown up. Yeah.
That's what Pelosi said. It's like our idea of total war is just vote in November.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do.
I'm willing to meet the Democrats halfway on this and attach machine guns to ballot boxes.
Total war, voting, and then what are they like chained like a bank pen to the voting?
They're mounted. It's all mounted to a Segway and you just scoot around.
Also this year there's going to be a lot of mail-in voting. I know a guy who wrote a manifesto and sent some cool stuff through the mail. Maybe do a little bit of that.
We really need to juice those USPS revenue streams.
That's true. Yeah, they're going to go bankrupt if you don't mail a pipe bomb to Mitch McConnell.
Well, some of the wildest lib takes that just mind-melting shit. One of them comes from Alexandra Lee Capps about Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing. Just told my 10-year-old daughter about #RBG. She had tears in her eyes, and then she did the Wakanda pose and said, #RuthConda forever.
No, she
which
didn't.
Is the she sort of hashtag? Pop culture crossover that I can celebrate.
Of all the things that didn't happen, this didn't happen the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hashtag is really the part that gives it away for me.
Right. There probably are 5-year-olds who say hashtag all the time, though, if they watch a lot of YouTube.
I don't know. The worst, most glaring part of this is all of it, if you ask me. It's just, oh, like, yeah. There's no part of this that's believable. The way it's strung together is totally not credible. Like,
you got to just remove the whole brain at that point.
Yeah.
It's just weird because it's like, what does Ruth Bader Ginsburg have to do with Black Israel?
Yeah,
I don't get it. Monarchist Black Israel.
That's the thing, is like any pop culture shit, any like whatever that they can string together to make it seem like it's related to like if they could make it relate to the fucking Big Bang Theory, they would, you know.
I think that libs, because libs have to sexually pathologize everything, I think that in libs' minds, because Chadwick Boseman and Ruth Bader Ginsburg's deaths were so close together, their minds have to go straight to Chadwick is blowing out Ruth's back walls in heaven.
Oh God, I hope nobody's mind is going there.
Why is it though that like just when news items happen really close together, everybody needs to like figure out all the permutations of mixing them up? It's like, why can't things just be the things that they are?
Because right. If you're a lib, you just feel like you're
to exist all of a sudden.
Yeah. If you're a lib, you just feel like you're inside like a giant Cuisinart of like undifferentiated signs, and you're just like, what is anything? Oh my God, what the fuck's happening? Okay, RBG and Wakanda guy.
What is an
Black
index?
Panther.
Explain it to me.
I guess they're having sex in heaven or something, and like, oh man, George W. Bush is there too somehow. I know he's not dead yet, but somehow he's involved. Michelle Obama's podcast is playing. I don't even know.
It's just a fever dream. Being a liberal is just a waking fever dream.
Right. Mm-hmm. Nothing makes any sense. You have no sense of ideology or coherency or historical narrative that makes any sort of sense.
There's something about Twitter that makes people want to jam stuff together. It's like if Twitter had existed in 2001, people would have been like, 9/11, is it? What is it? What did Enron build this building?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh
man.
Did that happen near the same time?
I feel like it was like late 90s was Enron.
Yeah, so you're probably right.
Well,
at least Enron, fresh. The movie, like when people started hearing about it, was a similar time period.
Another thing that happened because Ruth Bader Ginsburg died was Barb Solish, the woman who had Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a 90-million-year-old woman with 17 cancers, officiate her wedding two weeks ago.
During a pandemic.
Went protected on Twitter.
Yeah. No mask.
I wonder why.
So it's not, she probably didn't have COVID, right?
I mean, no one said what she died of yet. It seems like cancer, but like, what if it was COVID? What if she got COVID at this fucking wedding? Well, I hope it was worth it.
I mean, it was fucking worth it. If you had your stupid, like, lib Supreme Court god officiate your wedding, and then she died how many weeks later?
I think this the wedding happened on like August 31st or something.
Okay, so less than like barely 2 weeks,
like a few weeks. Yeah.
And then they died. Like they didn't get COVID at your wedding, they're not wearing masks in those pictures. It's so
crazy. Know how it's like, what the fuck is wrong with like a 70
even if she
an 87 year old
get
woman?
COVID and die from that wedding, how many of us would have been tweeting at her saying that she did?
Yeah. So this, like, is, all the, of us, this right? is the thing. It's like, if you're a sufficiently privileged, rich white person, you don't give a shit about the lib shit that you're spouting on social media. It's like, you could the same people who are like dining at, you know, $200 a plate Upper West Side outdoor patios where like 40 very rich, crusty old white people are just sitting in close proximity without masks. Those are the same people that are posting like infographics on Facebook that's like, oh, do you use your headlights in your car at night but don't wear a mask? Turns out you're retarded and don't believe in science.
Oh yeah, that is true.
Yeah, it's all, that's the only people who post those, is those rich people.
Well, when you see that kind of shit, I just have
it's just the same type of person.
Mm. Yeah, I imagine that the person behind the account is always just being like, it's a banana, Michael, what could it cost? $10?
Yeah. $10?
It's a mask, what could it cost? $400?
That's how much my masks cost.
Oh, and did you guys see the her, I think nephew or niece or something said that her last words were, please don't replace me until after the election.
Oh yeah, she was like, my most fervent wish is that I not be replaced until a new president, which is like, you could have thought of that by like retiring at 70 instead of waiting till you were about to die. Like, what? It's not, that's not how it works. You know, it's a fucking ridiculous system.
Do you think she really said that?
Yeah,
no, I'm willing to bet $1,000 right now that her last words were, help me, I'm dying, help me.
Yeah, there's literally two possible eventualities. One is that her family completely fucking made that up, or two, that she's such a careerist fucking psycho that her last thought running through her mind was not, I love my family, I'll see you in the beyond or whatever, but please don't replace me at my job until next year.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, like, if that was really it, and if they all knew that it was coming, you know, I'm surprised they didn't live stream it. Like, you're live for Facebook, Meemaw, say your last word.
I don't know if they were her last words. I just meant, I'm sure she definitely said it, because she seems that fucking narcissistic, like you said, Todd, and self-centered.
It's so crazy, because it's like, it fucking doesn't matter. Like what? Like what is it? What is going to happen that when we have like a even more Republican Supreme Court? It's like they're not supposed to be making laws anyway.
Women are afraid that they're gonna illegalize abortion even more than it already is. It's just like, if you are rich and privileged, which most of these white liberal upper middle class women are, you always had access to abortion. You just hop on a plane, go to Mexico, go to a state where it's easier to get one. If you are a working class person, or you don't have the means to go to a state or another country where abortion is legal, abortion has always been functionally illegal to you, because it's all about access. And if you are poor, you don't have access regardless of whether it's legal or not.
And it's like, these people are supposed to know that. Like, I listened. Yeah. They've been talking about this shit on This American Life and NPR shit for like the past decade, where like poor people still have to like drive like hours to even get abortions and, you know, medical care that they need so they don't fucking die or whatever. And it's just like, obviously, if you're rich or if you live in a city, then it just doesn't apply, because we barely live in like a single country. And so they're already supposed to know that. And I don't know what they think is going to happen that isn't already happening. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't really need to overturn Roe versus Wade. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're already like chipping away at it in so many states. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, in some states you have to fucking watch mandatory waiting periods. So if you traveled from, you know, another state or something, you have to get a hotel and then go back to the place the next day or some insane shit like that. Or if you like, you have to they make you watch the fucking ultrasound or something, or like listen to the heartbeat or some bullshit like that before you get to choose to abort it. It's insane.
Right. Yeah. And you know what would really help? Not lose the abortion fight, fucking Medicare for all.
Yeah.
Like, splitting it up into this separate thing already is losing. You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, well, we can make the insurance companies do this, and we can make the certain doctors do this or whatever. We can continue to, if they continue to privatize everything, it's going to be even easier for them to make abortion illegal or unavailable for lots of poor people. But if you just fucking voted for Medicare for all, or like if you just demanded it, then you wouldn't be having this problem. And it's just so absurd, because these are the same people who are like, I will never vote for Bernie Sanders. But anyway, I was just saying, when it comes to abortion, it's just like, it's all tied to medical care. And like, these are the same people who don't give a shit about medical care for all. They don't give a shit about eliminating the insurance companies. They don't, you know, these are the same people who are writing articles saying fucking, you know, this is a ridiculous stuff, and telling us to vote for Joe Biden, who absolutely said, we're never going to do that.
Yeah. It's like, look, Medicare for all would be an insult to his dead son.
I also saw this thing like earlier today. I don't know if you guys saw this, that like all the Pod Save America dipshits are doing like a Beat Mitch or Die Trying, by which they mean raise some money for Senate candidates who can like help Mitch not be in control of the Senate anymore. And they've raised already like $20 million or something. And this is just like for Democrats running to like unseat people in the Senate, like take back the Senate, basically. And I just kept seeing that number and being like, how much better served would that be if you just like gave $15 million to people who need abortions?
Yeah.
Like, because this is sort of like the stated purpose is like, well, we need to take back over so we can have Supreme Court nominees that say abortion is legal so then everyone can have it. It's all this like weird backwards logic.
There was an article that said that they raised $200 million. The Democratic Party across the board raised $200 million because of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death. And it's just like $200 million. I would have killed her for free.
$200 million for what?
Just sympathy. It's just sympathy money. Well, I was going to say if it'd be a lot cooler if they were raising however many millions of dollars to just hire MMA fighters to physically beat Mitch McConnell.
Hell yeah. That's
what I'm going to say. Is that like fucking the Democrats are still going to do fucking nothing. Like if Mitch McConnell was in this position where he wasn't in control of the Senate, and I mean by Mitch McConnell, I mean all of the Republicans. If they weren't in control of the Senate and the Democrats had the chance to put someone on the Supreme Court, they would break every rule to make sure they didn't do it, and the Democrats would not do it. Like that because they're fucking pussies.
And they make more money when they lose.
And I've seen so many people be like, they don't have a choice. There's nothing they can do. And it's like, what are you talking about? What do you mean there's nothing they can do? They can use their fists. They can kill Mitch McConnell.
That used to happen. People would get in like duels and fist fights on the floor of the US Senate.
Yeah,
but they would stab each other.
Because they don't want to do anything.
Back when men were men.
Yeah.
If you're elected to a high enough office that you're actually legislating and you're in a room with people who are being combative with you about the way to run an entire country, I think it's fully justified to just deck someone right in the mouth.
Absolutely. Like, we're talking about the deaths of millions of people. Like they're doing a concentration camp. They're doing a genocide. Another one, by the way. In America, and these people are like, what are you going to do about it? And they're just like steaming and saying, I don't know, nothing, I guess, because those are the rules. Fuck that shit.
We're going to halt progress on the wall, but we won't tear anything down.
No, it's like fuck you. If you could be in a room with these people and not just simply strangle them or just bring a gun and just kill every Republican, then you don't deserve to be in the government. Like so, you are not doing what we elected you to do.
thing is, I'm not sure any Democrat could physically strangle any humans. Maybe we just need like Joe Rogan or The Rock as a senator, and then they can just use their fists and lay waste to everyone.
I'm just saying, like, even if we don't have to resort to violence, like break the rules, do stuff that is illegal, and you know,
take a dump on the floor.
They do it all the time. Do anything. Yeah. Do anything.
The Democrats are the party of being like, we're not the bad guys. We don't cheat. We're playing vanilla Minecraft
fuck
politics. But it's like, if you want to win, like you have to install a hacked client. You have to break into your enemy's like fucking servers or data centers or even just their offices and steal like fucking file fold, like old school shit. Like there's so many ways that the Democrats could actually be winning, but it doesn't make them money to win. So why would they try?
Exactly.
Democrats are playing Fall Guys, and there's like one guy who just flies to the end immediately, and they're like, well, I don't even know how he's doing that. I refuse to find out. I'm sure it's easy, but I prefer to lose, honestly. I prefer to be a fall guy than to be a fall victor.
So speaking of doing multiple genocides, remember that we're doing a genocide. It's important to always remember that. America is, you know, they've been doing the Native American genocide for hundreds of years, you know, black people genocide for also hundreds of years. But we're now doing Hispanic people's genocide. And we're, you know, killing thousands of people, which gets reported sometimes, but no one has really created a narrative of like, hey, you know, there's at some point it's going to reach a much higher number and where you can't stop caring about it.
So you guys talked on the bonus about the unnecessary hysterectomies that were happening at these ICE camps where a gynecologist was just, you know, giving hysterectomies to these women in these ICE detention centers that did not need them unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. Friend of the show, Sean McCarthy from Grubstakers, has pointed out that not only is this an act of genocide, it's also a petty grift to get money from Medicare.
Right. It's, killing two birds with one stone here because you know, well, I mean, we don't necessarily have proof that this guy is doing it for this time, but he was convicted
like 5 years ago or something,
of doing it 5 years ago. So you can basically be sure that that this guy, and I'm assuming all of the ICE facilities are, you know, getting more money from Medicaid than they should be by doing unnecessary procedures and at least reporting unnecessary.
Well, I mean, you don't know. He could be getting the money and then burning it like the Joker, because it's not about the money. It's about sending a message. Well, that could be happening.
Americans don't want to believe that this kind of shit is happening, or they just like tune it out because they're like, oh yeah, only like, you know, it's a one in a billion psycho who looks at a pool of human suffering like these concentration camps and says like, oh, there's an untapped market resource where I can go scam a few bucks. But it's like, it's shockingly common. Like it's a much, much bigger percent of humanity is ready to do that, especially in the United States, where we've been conditioned to look at everything as a business opportunity.
It's like, it goes back to that idea of like lazy American fascism that we talked about a while ago, where it's just like, yeah, I mean, America's slipping into fascism, but this time around, our society is just so uniquely like blasé about everything, and, you know, very profit oriented, that the just doing their job argument is like they're just doing their job because they're trying to get that bag.
Yeah, well, it's like there's a booming industry of like genocide contractors. It's like, yeah, it's like there's a genocide gig economy, and there's a genocide. It's like it's
so
like
dark.
A multi-level marketing genocide, and it's just grifts all the way down. Like you can think of it so many different ways, because it's like all of these things all come from the same part of American ideology.
Yeah, imagine living in such a hyper capitalist society that it's just destroyed any idea that you have of like humaneness towards your fellow person, to the point where to make a quick buck, you're fucking, you know, doing live body dissections on people, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Bryn was saying earlier, like our two previous genocides of Black people and Native Americans were pretty economic at the time too. It was just like, well, we need some free labor and some free land, and
absolutely,
let's go for it.
And
let's get this bread, Kings.
Sort of always like that, like especially in America. But I mean, like there was definitely in Germany, there was definitely true believers, right? Like there was all the fucking freaks who believed in the occult, and that like the Volkisch people were going to rise, and like they were the better like skull shape or whatever. But a lot of people, especially the people who worked at, you know, Volkswagen and you know, all of the places that sold the Nazis oil and shit, like they didn't give a shit about that. They were just, you know, realized that they were, you know, fascism is when the companies get to be in the state and they don't have any regulation. And so like a lot of them are doing this kind of stuff. Like this guy, maybe ICE is like, hey, if you're gonna do like fake shit, like, you know, take out people's teeth so that we can get more Medicaid, hey, why don't you also sterilize them? Maybe, it doesn't even have to be that.
And it wasn't even just happening in Nazi Germany. I mean, Germany was doing that shit in Africa before World War II. And
absolutely.
Belgium under Leopold did it in the fucking Congo, where they were, you know, chopping off fucking hands because the slaves they had weren't being profitable enough.
Right. And we've been doing it in America since. Excuse me.
It's never just about racial subjugation. But this time around, there's like something really, really dark about like modern American fascism, where it's like both technocratic and like very surface level, and there's not really any like, you know, these people aren't like specifically loyal to their country or anything. It's
They don't care. I mean, this
really dark.
We don't even know if this guy doesn't, his name, I mean, I don't want to be whatever, but like his name doesn't sound white. Like,
he went to medical school in India.
So like Indians have a lot of fascists too. So they just don't give a shit. Like that's the whole point is that they just don't care. It's people who can just make money. He's not like specifically like real Americans aren't Mexican and Mexicans are inbreeding too much. That might probably isn't his, this in his personal perspective. Mm-hmm. It's just of this system that just continues and grows and undulates and rolls along down the hill and just does a genocide by itself because that's the system.
That's the thing, is it's an assemblage. It doesn't even have a center. Like, it's not party driven. Like, you could say the Republicans are the fascist party, but the Democrats are also a fascist party. And it's like the fascism that exists in the United States is like driven by mostly just by huge corporations, and their influence over the government is just one portion of what makes them terrible. And so there's no locus, there's no Hitler's bunker to go bomb. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that's a big part of what's frustrating about it, and what makes it easy to be pessimistic about it.
Well, another example of these unnecessary procedures, and also the just deeply like disturbing nature of American aesthetics in the modern age, is an Alaska dentist who has apparently been sentenced to 12 years in jail for doing, among other things, a tooth extraction while being on a fucking hoverboard.
And when we say hoverboard, we don't mean Marty McFly's hoverboard from Back to the Future 2. We mean one of those dumb, like, single or two-wheeled, like, little boards that you have to balance on or something.
It's not hovering!
I don't know
what it's on the ground! It's it has wheels!
Yeah, I'm not really sure where the hovering comes from.
It has lights under it that illuminate the ground under it, and so it looks like it's floating.
Fuck you! Suck my fucking dick!
I don't even think this guy got in trouble specifically for doing a tooth extraction on a hoverboard. He got in trouble for defrauding insurance companies, removing teeth without permission, or doing unnecessary dental surgery. And then also a host of other things. He's facing 46, or he was convicted, on 46 felony and misdemeanor counts.
Right. The funny part is that the article says, like, he is a guy who was convicted for doing it on a quote unquote hoverboard. But it turns out he actually seems to be getting in trouble for removing teeth without permission. Like, teeth that also, you know, didn't need to be done.
Doing extra procedures to defraud Medicare, like shit like that. Also, let's be real. The reason that there's so many articles about like people defrauding Medicare is to bolster the argument that if Medicare for All happens, there would be rampant fraud, which, as we've seen from actual numbers wise, like not the case whatsoever.
Now, right, if there was universal healthcare in this country, it would drastically reduce cases of fraud. The labyrinthian web of conflicting legislation that surrounds healthcare in this country is what allows like scam artists like this to make a quick buck pulling a tooth out on their fancy new $100 hoverboard they got at Walmart.
Right. And I mean, the thing about the way Medicare works now, and Medicaid works now, is that they still have to interface with a whole system that's designed and bought and paid for by private insurance companies. Yep, like the prices that are set, are not set by the hospitals, are not set by the doctors. Like, they're generally set by insurance companies. It's a whole market that's completely made up. It has nothing to, you know, when libertarians, freaks like that, talk, and you know, libertarian economics, like people who actually understand math at all, like what they say is, well, the market is set by the consumer. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. people are willing to pay a certain amount. But this is a whole thing where, first of all, if we have, I mean, you know this already if you're listening to this show, but the idea that not dying is a consumable is absurd and shouldn't exist, because you have to pay the price no matter what the price is, or you fucking die. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, but if you go to a hospital and you're like, hey, say hypothetically I broke my leg and then also had this thing happen and one other thing, how much would that cost? Nobody would be able to give you an answer. They'd be like, I have no clue. It could be $5,000, it could be $500,000.
I remember one time when I thought I had rabies, I went to the ER. And I was like, hey, I think I might have gotten bit by a raccoon.
Oh, no. And why did you get bit by a raccoon?
Don't worry about it. It's a long story. All right.
It would have to be. Yeah.
But, well, not bit. Well, it doesn't matter. The point is I was like, if I wanted a rabies shot, how much would it cost? And they were like, that's not how it works. I was like, what do you mean it's not how it works? You charge me money for something that I want. How much is it? And they were like, I don't know. Like, they don't know.
Yeah, nobody knows. You just get one and be like, all right, how about I give you $20? That seemed like it's worth $20, honestly.
Imagine if you went to Starbucks and you're like, how much is a large coffee? And the barista was like, that's not how any of this works.
I don't know.
Like, what do you mean?
You go to the grocery store and like under the cans of soup, there's price tags that just say, fuck you.
Do you want to eat or not, you fucking freak?
How about scan your food insurance and see if they'll cover it, idiot?
Yeah, it's nuts. It's absolutely insane. Nothing should work like this. And the fact that it does is absolutely indicative of the evil that is inherent in the system.
But something that Joe Biden could do to kind of alleviate our fears is, what if he rode out on stage to the debates on a hoverboard like that?
with like 40 more teeth than he should have in his mouth.
Oh, that's where all the teeth are going?
That's restorative justice. This guy has to put teeth back in someone's mouth who needs them. Joe Biden just gets extra teeth.
He's like a shark. He's like multiple.
Oh, wait. He's doing that to show. He's like, this is what would happen, folks, under Medicare for All. If you had free dental care, I would just get this many teeth. Everyone's going to do that. That's not sustainable.
What if it's Joe Biden just really owning the fact that he can barely even talk anymore, and his new strategy is to just have a bunch of extra teeth and snarl loudly at Trump?
Yeah,
he's just got bite six Trump tongues. On his neck.
He becomes the angel from the end of Revelation. It's just like covered in eyeballs. It's like, I'm opening the seventh seal.
I'd like Joe Biden a lot better if he were two winged intersecting rings in the air. I'm just saying.
I would vote for him if he was a different kind of being.
But instead of that, did you guys see the clip of him coming out to Despacito?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This rules.
No.
Wait, John, you haven't seen this?
No, I haven't seen this.
Let's,
what is
holy
this?
Let's see it.
Okay. All right.
Jamie, pull that up.
I just have one thing to say. Hang on here. All right. There you go.
The way he kind of like tried to get into it for a second.
He like he barely understands what music is.
Oh yeah, it's a hell of a sound right there.
This is at a like Hispanic Biden Harris event where it's like Todos con Biden Harris on the sign in front of him. So it's like, you know, he's like trying to pander to the Hispanic crowd by doing something that like maybe would have flown in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When that song was even popular. Out. Yeah.
Imagine being the fucking Biden advisor who's just like, okay, Joe, if at any point you're losing him, just whip out your phone and play Despacito into the mic.
Well, it's so crazy because it's like, why didn't they play this over the speakers? Why is he playing it on his phone and like putting it up to a microphone?
Maybe it was his idea. He was just like, I should play a song. And then he looked up
best
Hispanic music. I wonder if that's what comes up.
Like in that morning, he like looked at his Apple Music or whatever. And it was like, we see you're attending the Latino convention or whatever. Here's some Mexican music. And he's like, awesome. Yeah. That's so cool.
If you start losing steam at any point, pull out this car horn that plays banda music. You'll be
he's gonna do an event for women, and it's just gonna be Kate Bush.
Mm-hmm. Or WAP. Rules.
He's got my vote.
Yeah.
Yep, this is what they're offering you folks. Instead of concrete material gains in your life.
Yeah.
Concrete material gains for workers and healthcare, anything.
Anyone?
Just Despacito.
Well, there's also concrete Timberland boots on Kamala Harris's feet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about that at
all.
They
weren't even like the work boot Tims. Sneaker Tims.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, fake-ass no. Kamala Tims. And Tims has nothing on, say, Pooh in Tims or Big Chungus in Tims.
I feel like Tims aren't even like a particular, like is a demographic here. That's not like a particular demographic. That's just New York.
Yeah, it's not like it's specifically
people
like,
in New York wear Tim's.
Yeah, she's from California.
It's weird that it's like, is she trying to play to the people who make Twitter New York memes?
Honestly, it might be. Yeah. Probably because it's like, I feel like all these people who are like media people or like campaign, you know, workers. It's like they're all extremely online freaks like the rest of us.
They're so and it's online, like, and it's really weird and gross, and they don't understand it. It's like they don't get it.
They don't get it.
They and it's don't like sometimes, get any of the jokes.
It's like if you're not careful, you're like, everyone I follow lives in like LA, San Francisco, and New York. Like, especially if you only follow like other blue check freaks like yourself.
There's
no blue checks in the entire middle of the country. No one can even get them there. Each state, like Idaho, they get 4 blue checks for the entire state.
Oh, yeah. All the Democratic advisors are just people who, like, they think that the exotic demographic of people who are Democratic voters are New Yorkers because they're all LA people.
Just a poor black person who rides the subway and wears Tim's. They're like, that's every black person in America. They all do that. They ride the subway and wear Tim's.
Yeah. Well, there's also that thing. I mean, Kamala has a history of this where she was like, she went to the Breakfast Club. And she was like, I'm Jamaican. You know I smoke that loud.
Oh, you know I had to roll up that loud pack.
And her like Jamaican father.
I'm from California, but I wear Tim's. I'm biracial and bicoastal.
Yeah, Kamala Harris probably tries to avoid saying the N-word when singing along with rap music.
Yeah, because she's afraid. She's not allowed to.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I feel like her Jamaican father was like, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, you can't
say. He's a Marxist.
Her ancestors are rolling in their grave that you were like, oh, Jamaican, we love a Dawid, man. Like, so racist and embarrassing.
It's so ridiculous.
Well, speaking of pandering, we talk a lot about the technocratic bullshit that, you know, companies come up with to try and make your life easier or try to, like, see where the wind is blowing. And then, like, pour resources into things. I want to give a shout out to at Simulacrid. Stella, longtime listener of Beep Beep, pointed out this New York Times and Facebook partnership that is happening. Apparently, for multiple years, they're going to co-develop augmented reality filters and effects on Instagram that help users access and contextualize New York Times journalism.
What?
Oh, boy.
What the fuck does that mean?
No. Instead of, like, presenting the news to you, I mean, New York Times already sucks ass, but instead of, like, presenting a Ross Douthat op-ed to you, it's going to be available via an Instagram filter.
Oh, man. Just like a filter that makes it look like you're inside a Catholic church. That's how you get the Ross Douthat experience. Just a
filter that puts Ross Douthat's face on your face.
Oh, like, man.
Why does this filter and then he reads look the like article that my to eyes you? Are bungholes? Oh, it's just Ross Douthat filter. Like,
no, there's a Brett Stevens filter that the rainbows come out of Brett Stevens' mouth on your face.
Yeah. It just looks like you become a bed bug.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Like, in what way could an Instagram filter tell me about a current event? Like,
in every way.
No, so actually, this is kind of crazy because, I mean, Instagram filters are a type of augmented reality, but they're not the only type of augmented reality. And there's definitely a lot of things where the kind of augmented reality that I think would be useful, or that I've thought of in the past as useful, is like you could have glasses or whatever. Like Google Glass tried to do that. Remember Google Glass?
Oh, yeah.
It was like a cool idea. If not entirely created by a fascist company, that's whole point is to track your data and like film and surveil everyone around you. But the idea of having like directions, like if you had like glasses that could like put directions on the road or whatever, like
I could use that. I get lost pretty easily.
You know, there's certain things that you can imagine would be cool if they weren't, you know, just evil.
I'm about to get Ted pilled on y'all's asses. Like, well, people used maps for thousands of years.
I know, but I'm just saying there's better map. Useful ideas that you could imagine.
Maps are a bourgeois innovation.
Yeah, decadent. A map sounds kind of like technology to me, Todd.
Sounds like you should get yourself a sextant.
Just going to be another fucking example of another new platform that these tech companies are going to dump a bunch of resources into. It's not going to pan out, and then a bunch of people are going to lose their jobs when, you know, the money goes into something else.
Yeah, honestly, the level of that augmented reality should stay at is when you're driving a luxury car, the speed that you're going is reflected on the windshield instead of on your dashboard. That's the, the highest level of augmented reality that we really need.
I don't even need
because
that.
There's the only way this can even work out is like when you look at things in the city, it'll be like, I'm imagining like a citizen app. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you like look at, look through your camera and it's like, here's all the crimes that are going on around
you.
Or like next door.
Criminal spotted.
Yeah, exactly.
Whenever you look at a black person.
Or, or like, I guess some sort of like the most innocuous way I can imagine it is like, it would be like a four square where you like all of the buildings and stuff, you get like some sort of like propaganda history around everything where it's like, this was where Stonewall happened and I don't know, cops were great there or something.
Pokemon Go, report your neighbor for petty theft.
Yeah, exactly. So I can't imagine this being anything but evil in the same way that Google Glass was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's good. The next one on this little block of technocratic insanity is Mel Magazine is reporting that they're going to start doing locks on your apartment door that could lock you out if your rent is late.
God. So, I mean, like, you have to log in with your fingerprint and they'll just like, nope, you actually didn't pay rent.
Yeah, it's smart locks, right? So there's like the Ring doorbell shit. But like now there's plenty of buildings already where you use a key fob, right?
It's on the blockchain.
So apparently there's this cryptocurrency millionaire, Jeffrey Burns, who is building a city-sized housing development in Nevada. But it's based around the blockchain because he's a crypto guy. And his idea of doing a smart doorbell is that it'll lock you out if you like violate any rule, if you're late on rent by like a day. And this is the kind of technocratic shit that, you know, these technologies, they don't solve any problems. They don't make your life easier. All they do is make it easier for you to be tracked, for you to be bagged and tagged and controlled. And at the end of the day, for capital to dominate you.
Well, and also, let me just add, a lot of the time, they don't work, or they're attached to a door that's easy to get open anyway. So it's just like, it's something that's really important to remember is like, they can crypto retrofit, hook up to the blockchain, cloud access, data server, whatever the fuck they want to do. But if I can stick a piece of wire hanger through the door and unlatch the bolt from the other side, or if I can slip something under the bottom of the door that just opens the handle for me, it's not going to be much fucking trouble getting in.
Right.
So, like, don't be bossed around by like techno wonk bullshit when like a fucking hammer or sometimes even just using a vape to blow enough like vapor to trigger the sensor on the other side of a door is enough to get into a building.
That's awesome.
This
is the kind of stuff that like really reminds, there's a book by Philip K. Dick called Ubik, and it's not the only book he does this in, but there's that one in particular, like, for no reason, it actually doesn't really have much to do with the story, but in the future that he's imagining, like, every apartment has like is coin operated. Like, to open every door, you have to put a coin in it.
Oh, wow.
And to all of your appliances in your house, you have to put coins in it.
100 years ago, there were like tenements that had that for like lights. You would put penny in and it would run your electric lights for like 6 hours.
Right, exactly. And so it's
back when a penny was like worth a dollar, you know.
Yeah. That's not such a good deal.
Speaking of another technocratic bullshit thing that people that is not making anybody's lives better, but is certainly making things worse. Apparently in Riverside, California, to deal with people who are unhoused, because California has a big homeless problem, there's been a big outcry in these communities against sending cops to deal with the homeless because all they do is use like fire hoses or just like paddy wagons, just absolute inhumane, fucking, you know, Gestapo style tactics to deal with society's most vulnerable people. And they started sending clinical therapists, but this image that we found shows that the clinical therapist is really just a cop with a gun, a walkie-talkie, and a Blue Lives Matter sticker, uh, a Blue Lives Matter patch and a vest that says clinical therapist.
Yeah, it's like a fucking like thin blue line patch. It's insane. It's
yeah.
Isn't it interesting how therapy resembles schools and barracks, all of which resemble prisons?
That's correct.
Yeah, it's very strange that this guy looks like a RoboCop. Mm-hmm. And he just has a patch that says clinical therapist.
Oh, it's man. Like, and he's wearing a mask, so he didn't even have to like put on a fake mustache. Because normally they would have been like, nope, not a cop. First day on the job. The other guy thinking I was my twin brother. He had a mustache. My first day as a clinical therapist.
I think if you're going to be a clinical therapist, you should be, and you're a man, you should be required to have a ponytail and a bald spot.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you don't, you're not really a therapist.
Yeah, you need to have, yeah, turtle shell glasses, and you need to have like some sort of paisley tie. You can be wearing right. a button down, but it has to either have short sleeves or not be white. It has to be like red or blue or something.
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm. And you have to clearly not be, you have to not weigh like over 120 pounds or you can't weigh below 300 pounds.
This guy, yeah, this guy doesn't look like a fucking therapist. This guy looks like he's ready to wage physical war on the concept of disability.
Mm-hmm. You know what he's I mean? A physical like, therapist, if yeah. you know what I'm saying.
Ableism in a way that is 100% real. He just wants to murder everyone who has ever not been in peak physical fitness.
I mean, imagine if you were walking down the street and you just saw this dude and you were like, oh, look at that cop. He's really kitted out. And then he turns a little bit and you just read clinical therapist.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. Can I get some therapy? I'm feeling kind of nervous right now. And then he just shoots you.
Yeah, it's not much reassuring to see that. It's just very like confusing. Mostly, I feel like if you were already in a situation where you needed help and you didn't really know what was going on, and this guy showed up, it would just confuse you more. You would be like, "What the fuck is happening now?"
You're like, "I must be having a stroke, or I must not be able to read anymore somehow."
Mm-hmm. I think my VR news Instagram app is malfunctioning again. It's putting random text on cops. Yeah.
It's the AR is saying that this obvious pig is a clinical therapist.
That can't be right.
Yeah. Don't even ask what shows up when you look at him through the glasses from They Live.
Yeah. But to close out, something big happened today that's been going around, and I haven't actually read up enough on it, but it's called FinCEN.
Yeah, there's been a big dump of like 2,500 documents, most of which banks sent to U.S. authorities between 2000 and 2017. And what these basically are a big archive of transactions that auditors either at banks or at watchdog groups or, you know, auditing groups in the government flagged as potentially suspicious. And, you know, a lot of people have brought up the point that like, evidence that these exist is not evidence that there was necessarily a crime each time. Yeah, but when you look at the great number of them and their scale and their interrelationship to especially industries that are famous for money laundering, it becomes hard not to think that this is a massive money laundering network that has just been exposed. And like this BBC article that we have here keeps trying to talk about how Russian oligarchs are laundering this money.
Oh, no.
But the banks they Putin. Name The banks they name are all fucking American banks.
Yeah.
Wow. So, that's so devious of Putin to use our banks to launder his money. Will he never stop?
Anything at all is going to happen to this? Just no. Like with the Panama Papers?
Well, this is the thing. Like Deutsche Bank is like multiple times over been revealed to be a CIA front, basically. Like this is stuff that they've been doing for decades and decades, and like we've said before on this show, the Panama Papers happened and no one gave a shit. Like this is all the same kind of information.
Said that these were U.S. banks, but they are mostly European, and also the United Arab Emirates Central Bank.
They can't be doing. Come well, on, they're not United on, Arab like, Emirates. They're not
J.P. Morgan and Chase is named here. I guess Barclays Bank is European. I always think it's not because for some reason the fucking stadium here is called Barclays. Because they own it. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like it, I mean, not to get all Alex Jones, but like globalism makes banks not, it's not, there's no American banks. Like that's not a real right. thing. Do you know what I mean? Like,
does anybody even remember all the shit that was happening with Deutsche Bank like a month ago?
It's like Jeffrey Epstein had a bunch of his money there, right?
That like there were mysterious deaths that like Everybody just forgot about, like,
the judge,
cares.
Like, a judge who's about to hear a case about Deutsche Bank. It was just like, oh no, I got lead disease. Suddenly there's way more lead in my brain.
There was like somebody there, some judge, like her family got murdered.
Yeah, well, in this BBC article, it says, like, why is this leak different? And then it lists four different series of financial leaks that took place in four consecutive years. There was LuxLeaks in 2014, Swiss Leaks in 2015, the Panama Papers in 16, and the Paradise Papers in 17.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
We need better names for these, I'm thinking. It needs to be called, like, the Halo 4 leaks.
It is at this point. It's
the Call of Duty leaks.
Yeah, the Call of Duty leaks.
Yeah.
At this point, this is the definition of an open secret, right? Like, there's no confusion here. We know for a fact that there is a large, large cabal of people who are, you know, doing fraud, who are moving money around to fund vast different types of things, but mostly imperialism, mostly sex trafficking for, you know, like all kinds of stuff that is evil, but it benefits the empire. And so no one cares. Like, there's no one there to say it's bad or to arrest anybody, because these are all the people in charge.
How could the quote unquote Brit art scene even exist without money laundering? It's the most epic bullshit possible.
It's true. I mean, like, all of this stuff is people who are, you know, Saudi royals, you know, like, I mean, we joke about Russian oligarchs, you know, because, like, who cares or whatever, in terms of, like, there's the whole, like, lib stuff of, like, oh, Russia is stealing our election or whatever. But, I mean, Russia is just as capitalist of a country as we are now. And they are doing just as evil things as we are now. So
yeah, as evidenced by the fact that, like, Russia is not, like, 100% on board with all the shit that Trump does. Like, that's the whole thing. The narrative, the Russiagate narrative, immediately falls apart when you look at the fact that, like, the United States is not doing stuff that's in Russia's interest right now.
Yeah, they often don't. It's just like, Putin was like, it'd be better for us in some certain specific ways if Trump was president. So I hope that happens.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is, it's hard to, you know, I don't want to downplay the importance of this because it's all been very important. Like, the Paradise Papers and the Panama Papers are incredibly, like, it's really important to understand that all of this is connected, right? Like, the imperialist behavior of the CIA and America in general, and the implication of, you know, Jeffrey Epstein and the Deutsche Bank lending Donald Trump millions of dollars in the 80s, like, all of these things are the same, like, couple hundred people. Like, it's all the same process of doing imperialism and doing anti-democratic bullshit in our country and every other country. And they do it by, you know, selling drugs, by doing sex trafficking, by doing fraud. It's all the same stuff. So do read up on it, know what's happening, because it's important to know who your enemy is and what their tactics are. Because if you keep thinking that the Democrats are your enemies, right? Like, the Democrats are your enemies, the Republicans are your enemies, but, like, all of that shit is kind of a game show. Like, there's a ton of all this other shit going on that no one knows about or talks about or cares about because it's not in the news.
And, like, most Democratic politicians, like, barely know anything about it. Like, the most powerful, the ones like Bill Clinton, who was, like, friends with Jeffrey Epstein, they're involved. They know about it a little bit, but some of them, some of them just have no idea.
Right. And the people who are your enemy are the people who keep this Goliath just stomping along, and just, there's no fighting it without understanding that these are, like, a couple hundred or a thousand, like, very rich, disgusting old assholes. And, you know, there's a lot more of us than there are of them.
Yeah, that's right. And on that note, you know, try to stay hopeful. There probably won't be anything that comes of these papers, but
no,
you know, at some point everything's got to break. You know, they're the ruling class is doing a gambit. It's always a gambit. How much will the people take? And someday, you know, it's going to break. We don't know what's going to happen, but there will be a breaking point because they keep pushing and they don't let up because it's just, you know, capitalism is ever expanding and something is going to happen. We just don't know what it is yet.
At some point, the American proletariat is going to have our, hey, I'm walking here moment, and it's going to be over.
That's right.
No, I agree. And I think that, you know, there's a I've said before on the show, like, there's a process of, like, we all have to get together and do something. We have to organize, and maybe using the shell of a currently existing party isn't the best way. Maybe it is. I don't really know. But as long as we all are talking to each other, I think that there, you know, and as long as we all understand that organizing is the way to get us all on the same page and directing our energy at the correct targets, then I think we'll get there. It's just we've got to not die first.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for listening. On that note, that's been the show. This is BP Bledis. We appreciate you for being here. If you'd like to hear more of our show, check out the Patreon at patreon.com/BP Bledis. You can follow all of us on Twitter. You can follow the show at Weed Pod. You can listen to John's other show, Work Stoppage. You can listen to my other show, Generation Loss. And we will see you in Mids Posting and the Discord.
Beep on, y'all.
Goodbye. Keep living.
Bye. Scatman's World.
Brother, you just keep on walking, 'cause you and me and sister ain't got nothing to hide. Scat man, fat man, black and white and brown man, tell me about the color of your soul. If part of your solution isn't ending the pollution, then I don't want to hear your stories told. I want to welcome you to Scat Man's World. Someone win if winning means that someone loses. I sit and see and wonder what it's like to be in touch. No wonder all my brothers and my sisters need a crutch. I wanna be a human being, not a human doing. I couldn't keep that pace up if I tried. The source of my intention really isn't crime prevention. My intention is prevention of the lie. Yeah, welcome to the Scat Man's World.
the dong 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 the dong